Welcome to the December 19th meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature. A couple of preliminaries. If you have cell phones, please silence them or any other electronic devices. If in case of emergency, there are exits to my right at the back of the room, to my left at the front of the room. In case of a fire, please don't use the elevator. Would you please stand with me for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we have the roll call of members, please.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Morey?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
I am here.
Ms. Black?
Here.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
Still here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. John?
Here.
Ms. Kellis?
Barely.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
14 members present.
We have quorum. We'll go to presentation of proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
Folks, tonight is kind of an important night for us. It's the last meeting of our year, and it's a time of transition. And an important transition. At our previous meeting, we said goodbye to our retiring County Administrator, Joe Mariana. And at this meeting, we are very, very pleased to bring forward his replacement. Tonight, we are going to be, if this legislature approves, adding to the agenda two pieces of legislation, two resolutions that will appoint our new administrator, Jason Molino, who is currently the city manager of the city of Batavia, and also to start the procedure going for his salary. So I'm going to turn to the chair of our budget and personnel committee, Jim Dennis, and ask Jim if you would please move your resolutions.
I would be glad to do that, Mike. The first one is the appointment of the Tompkins County Administrator, and I would move that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Our clerk has told me that the first thing we have to do is add these to the agenda. So would you please move to add both of these resolutions to the agenda?
At the same time?
Is that all right? Yes.
Is that all right?
Yes, it's all right.
I am moving resolution, the appointment of the TC Administrator and the salary resolution to the agenda.
Is there a second to add those to the agenda? Dooley Kiefer. Ready to vote? All those in favor of adding those two, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Now, please, Jim, your resolution.
Okay, the first one, the appointment of the Tompkins County Administrator. And do you want me to read that?
Why don't you?
All right, I will do that. Whereas by charter, the position of county administrator is appointed by, is directly responsible to, and serves at the pleasure of the Tompkins County Legislature. And whereas the search committee consisting of six county legislators, two county department heads, president of CSEA White Collar Unit, four community reps assisted with a national search and selection process. Whereas the full legislature, upon the advice and counsel of this search committee, after conducting their own interview process, and after taking into consideration input from department heads, administration department staff, who also had an opportunity to meet the finalists, gave due consideration to finalist candidates, and have hereby recommended appointing Jason Molino to the position of county administrator. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the appointment of Jason Molino to the position of Tompkins County Administrator is hereby confirmed by the legislature with a start date to be effective 1/29/2018, and I would move that.
May I have a second? Seconded by Dooley Kiefer. Discussion. Jim?
Let me just say I chaired the search committee, and we had over 30 applications. After qualifying the applications, there were 20-plus people who were on the list, and the first-round search committee pared that down to a smaller number. We offered six people to come to final interviews, and two of them dropped out on the way, and we interviewed four people in the final round of interviews. I want to say that Stephen Estes of Human Resources did an excellent job in reaching out, advertising in a wide and varied search as far as we could possibly go. Money was not an object. We were willing to spend the money to do the widest search we could possibly do. And we had some great candidates, and we're here tonight to swear in Jason. And I am so pleased with the work of the committee and all the people that were involved in it. It was just another good process that county government has had in picking people to fill very important jobs. So,
thank you, Jim. Anyone else? I would certainly second what you said about the performance of our county human resources department. Amy Guerra, Commissioner of Personnel, and Stephen Estes did a wonderful job.
Amy Guerrari, who is our commissioner, and Stephen Estes, who did an outstanding job for us.
And Amy would be here tonight except for the fact that she had a family medical issue that she had to attend to. Are we ready? Martha Robertson.
Thank you, Mike. I just want to thank the full legislature and the legislators-elect who really knuckled down to find the time in everybody's schedules to make sure we had time to interview people and consider and take the time that needed. And it's really great that this legislature, as this class kind of concludes, it's really nice to have this settled with a very positive, forward-looking decision, and look forward to 2018. But thanks to everybody here.
Thank you, Martha. Anyone else? Are we ready to vote? All those in favor of the resolution appointing the new administrator, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That is unanimous. Jim, would you move your second resolution, please?
I will. It is authorizing the salary for position above the salary range for the position of Tompkins County Administrator, and I would move that. I don't think it's necessary that I read it. Everyone has a copy.
Is there a second, please? Second again by Dooley. Discussion. Ready to vote? Those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That is unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I have a black hat here that I bought for County Administrator Joe Mariano at a local thrift store. It's an amazing Texas hat. It's made with Resistol, and I gave it to Joe, and he had it on a shelf in his office from the time I purchased it for a very small amount of money, I might add. And I said to Joe, you can put it on whenever you feel like it. And we almost had to put it on in 2009 when no one had any money, and we were able to get things done, even though Joe didn't put the black hat on. But he did say that he thought seriously about doing it from time to time. So he wanted me, and I want to give this to Jason. And so I will do that.
Thank you. Jason, I wondered if you might come up to the podium.
You don't have to wear the hat.
Jason, on behalf of all of us, we want to congratulate you.
Thank you very much.
And I know you've brought some your own cheering division over here.
Yes, yes.
And I wondered if you might introduce them to us.
I'd be happy.
And say any words you'd like to have, and we're pleased to have you. And we do understand you may not be able to stay for the whole lengthy meeting we have tonight, but we're glad you came down. And, folks, one of the things that impressed us about Jason, between interviews and at the very beginning, he took the time to come to some of our meetings. And I think that showed an interest not only in our legislature here, but our community. And I think that that's a real feather in his cap.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Us not staying for the rest of the meeting is for your benefit just as much as it is for ours. With me today, I have my wonderful wife, Anna, my oldest daughter, Sophia, who's looking to graduate high school in the next few months, my daughter, Stella, and my daughter, Charlie. And my youngest, our youngest is Jason Jr. there with a lollipop in his mouth. Thank you. Thank you for the warm welcome. We appreciate it. It's an honor to be selected and to have your confidence for this leadership role, so we greatly appreciate it. Being in local government, the time that I have, I've watched from afar Tompkins County be on the forefront of issues and be the leader in New York State, and it's a privilege to be a part of this team. So I thank you for that, and I look forward to working with the legislature, the excellent staff, the wonderful community, and really look forward to the future. So the best over the holidays, and look forward to hitting the ground running come January. Thank you very much.
As I said, we have a lot of transition going on. I do want to mention, and I don't know whether she'll say anything more about it later, but our wonderful deputy county administrator, who's been our interim county administrator since Joe Mariani had to leave earlier than expected, Paula Younger, has been with us. And as I understand it, she has now received a wonderful opportunity for a different role in our community, and that she intends to be doing that. I don't think it's something that they're ready to announce yet, but based on what she's told us, I think it'll be wonderful for not only our community, but for our Tompkins County government as well. So I just wanted to say that, Paula, and when it gets around to your report, maybe you'll say something else. But we certainly appreciate what you've been doing for us every day. I'm sure there'll be things to be said about the departing legislators later on Privilege of the Floor, but we wanted to do those things first. And let's just kind of move down the agenda. There will be an executive session tonight, and we will be talking about personnel matter with respect to a particular person. Let's go to Privilege of the Floor. Kathy Covert tells me that our stop clock is not working tonight, so she'll be putting up the old-fashioned signs to kind of let people know. Remember that by signing... By signing a blue card and asking to speak at our meeting, you're agreeing to our rules. The rules for the public are that an individual may speak for no longer than 3 minutes. A speaker will not raise his or her voice. A speaker will not use lewd, obscene, profane, slanderous, or libelous language or speak or act in a manner that would tend to incite a breach of the peace. A speaker will not speak about county personnel matters. Personnel matters include comments about job performance of named county employees other than elected officials. After 3 minutes, a speaker will leave the microphone and yield the floor. Transferring time to another person is not permitted. A speaker will not cause a disruption, and if asked to leave, will leave the chambers. Written materials may be submitted to the clerk of the legislature. Personnel matters should be directed to the relevant department and or supervisor, or in the case of a department head, to the county administrator, except for the county administrator, county attorney, finance director, and clerk of the legislature, which should be directed to the chair of the legislature. If there's anyone that hasn't signed a blue card that wants to speak, please send one up to us. I have, looks like, four or five here. We'll start out tonight with Peter Meskel.
Thank you, Mike. First time I've been in this building.
It's very nice.
Let me remind folks that Peter Meskel was former member of the Tompkins County Board of Representatives and Legislature and former sheriff of Tompkins County.
Thanks, Mike. I'm here tonight to thank my good friend and my county legislator, Jim Dennis, for his 12 years of service to our area, Ulysses, Enfield, and parts of the town of Ithaca. I know personally how much of a difficult job it can be. I am sure, and I know from being a former department head, how difficult it can be sometimes working with some of us from time to time, and things you'd like to say and probably didn't say, but really thought about them hard on your drive home after the meeting. But in any event, I just really wanted to take a moment to thank you for your hard work, doing the work of the people that you do so well, and honestly and sincerely standing up for the small, everyday person and your leadership in economic development in this county. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Peter. Faye Gugakis. No.
No.
Is it on? Okay.
Yes, there it goes.
My name is Faye Gugakis. I live in the city of Ithaca, the commons more specific. I wanted to thank you again for giving me the three extra minutes last week, 2 weeks ago. I wanted to start by saying that Jason just left, and it's the first time I met him, but he was wearing a tie with bicycles on it. And I told him, I wish he was still here. I thought that was a good sign. I'm hoping that's a good sign. Because a lot of the things that I've been trying to address with bicycle issues have not been done. And I'm hoping that he would, you know, bring in new leadership that deals with things that we have to deal with every day as cyclists. Other than a bike lane, there's so many other issues that we have to deal with, which unfortunately nobody has dealt with that in this town after years and years of asking for help. So I don't want to labor that issue because I want to say, give my good wishes to everybody who's retiring. I wish everybody well, and I want to thank you for your work. I know sometimes we don't agree, and that's what politics is. Someone that I've been in politics for a long time on the outside, I know it's a very difficult thing to do. It's very grueling. It's a lot of hours. You get people that get upset with you and vice versa. It's really a job made of love for your community, and that's the way it should be. I'm sorry, I'm not doing well today, am I? I wanted to say that there's a lot of challenges left ahead, one being the bicycle issues. The other thing is creating sustainable, responsible and transparent economic development, which I feel we're not doing very well in the county and the city especially. I also would like acknowledgement to Native Americans. I wasn't quite sure what was happening last time I was here. I didn't realize that they were trying to switch that with Columbus Day. I think whether it's Columbus Day or not, I think there should be a day that we should, you know, set aside for Native Americans in our county. Whether it's Columbus Day or not, it still will be effective. It doesn't necessarily have to be on Columbus Day. I know that's a contentious issue, and I'm not going to go into that. But we should do something set aside a day. The last thing, if I have enough time, Julie Kiefer was someone that stood out in the years of trying to do with Lake Source Cooling. And her efforts in trying to get the pipe to go further out still stands. We need to do that. I really believe that the algae and the problems that we're having are from different areas, but I think that we need to extend that pipe. I really believe that. And I want to thank Dooley again, and I want to thank all of you that are retiring. I wish you well, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Faye. David Weinstein.
David Weinstein, 51 Freeze Road. My comments tonight are with regard to an item coming up on your agenda, a resolution concerning the Freeze Road Bridge. This bridge is 130 years old, built in 1887, and unique. The 1887 date is in the official summary in SHPO's Cultural Resource Information System database, and it just hasn't been updated in the state, in the DOT database, which is why it's incorrect in this resolution. It has been classified as eligible for the National Historic Registry by the New York State Historic Preservation Office, SHPO. Consequently, any plan to restore or replace it has to go through a Section 106 process in which different options are evaluated by both engineers and concerned citizen members to see which is the optimal solution, not only to the engineers, but also to the community and their concerns. So, and in addition, optimal solutions that also meet the historic preservation considerations. Well, to date, no such process has happened. What has been made public so far is only a one-paragraph statement from the engineers that there is sufficient deterioration to warrant a replacement bridge. This might be based on the assumption that the bridge must carry daily truck traffic, which is something the community doesn't need or want, and we just don't know without seeing the engineers' work whether this is where the assumptions are coming from. The engineer's statement has been translated into a memo by you, by Jeff Smith, saying that the bridge will be replaced by a two-lane bridge, implying that no other options are being considered. I don't fault Jeff, but that's just a one-sided view of the issue. It's not that I doubt the engineers, but to understand the basis of their conclusion, the public needs to study a thorough description of the bridge's current problems and to see for themselves the pluses and minuses of the alternative options. And certainly, there is no plan that has been presented for the preservation of the historic elements of the bridge. So I urge you not to move forward with the county's participation in this project until multiple options are put back on the table with ample citizen input and thorough participation by involved parties such as myself. And to have those before a final conclusion is put forth, and to not move forward until a definitive plan for conducting the Section 106 review is put forward. Right now, it's clear that all the weight is being given to the engineers and none to the community, even though a two-lane bridge runs counter to resolutions passed by both the Dryden Town Board, the Dryden Conservation Board, and the Varna Community Association. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Lori Snyder.
I'm Lori Snyder. I live at 36 Freeze Road. Just to be sure everybody knows where the Freeze Road Bridge is, it's in Varna. It connects Route 366 to Hanshaw Road. In February, when we first started to hear that this was under consideration to replace or study the Freeze Road Bridge, I wrote a petition, and I got the signatures of 100% of the owner-occupied homes on Freeze Road, and that everybody opposes the making of the bridge into a two-lane bridge. I would like to read to you the petition. The Freeze Road Bridge is a historic steel truss bridge built by the Groton Steel Works, and is handsome and functional. It adds to the historic nature of the scenic qualities of Varna. The Freeze Road Bridge acts as a traffic calming device, forcing cars to slow down and take turns crossing the bridge. The Freeze Road Bridge, the Freeze Road Hill, is very steep and curved. There are houses right at the bottom of that hill. We already have more than our share of accidents and bicycle accidents on that hill. The Freeze Road Hill is steep and curved. It would be become more dangerous if cars were flowing through Freeze Road at a greater speed, and if there were more cars, and if there were bigger trucks. As the residential nature of Freeze Road increases with more development, reducing speed limits on Freeze Road would be advantageous. The Cuga Trail system crosses Freeze Road in several locations. It is also very popular with the runners of Tompkins County, Cornell, and Ithaca High School. Traffic needs to be slower to be mindful of pedestrians, runners, and cyclists. The residents of Freeze Road, 100% of the homeowners on Freeze Road are opposed to large trucks using Freeze Road. It is a residential neighborhood and has a steep hill, curves, and blind driveways that make it unsafe for such vehicles. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have submitted, I think it's 56 signatures.
You can pass them up.
To the Dryden Town Board.
Well, we'd be glad to accept them if you want to supplement your comments today.
Okay.
Or send them to us, either way.
Okay. Thank you.
I have one blue card left, and if there's anybody else that wants to speak, please send up their blue card. We have Irene Weiser.
Hi, thanks. I'm here really for a couple of reasons. One is to announce that NYSEG has posted to their website and the Public Service Commission and released to the public a request for proposals for non-pipe alternatives in the Lansing area as an alternative to the pipeline. So I think the pre-bid conference will be on January 12th. So people can look online, or if they have problems, get in touch with me or Martha or Katie, and we can point them to that RFP. But it's a very exciting development. I'd like to point out that there are several county properties north of Route 13 in the area of this non-pipe alternative, and I think it would be very interesting for the county to look into converting those facilities, the airport, public safety, Department of Emergency Response, Health Department, there may be some others that I'm not remembering, but anyhow, to convert those off of using natural gas as a way to restore supply in the area, and it would be an advantage to all of our taxpaying residents, as the costs for running those facilities on heat pumps would go down. So I think it's a win-win, and the county could lead and demonstrate the ability of these products to adequately heat homes, and really that it's the direction we need to move. So that's one piece of why I'm here. The other reason I'm here is to thank and honor some of my colleagues on the board who are leaving after this meeting. And I think I couldn't have said it better than what Faye said about this service is really about your love for the community. And I thank you all for the depth of dedication and listening that you've given to the people of this community, and Will and Carol and Dooley in particular. You have really taken to heart the environmental concerns that we all have for protecting this beautiful place. You have taken to heart putting the people here and the people who struggle here the most first in your minds and first in your deliberations. And I know the deliberations at times have not been easy. I know the work has not been easy, and you have just given it every bit of your best, and that best is really very good, and we've been very fortunate to have you. So thank you for everything you've done.
Thank you, Irene. Are there reports tonight from municipal officials? Did I see Duxon? Duxon Nguyen from the City Council, City of Ithaca. Welcome.
Good evening. So the Planning and Economic Development Committee, which met last week, circulated downtown and College Town design guidelines. So those will help the Planning Board decide what's appropriate in new developments. One of the biggest complaints we get is that the new buildings going up don't have much character or they don't fit in. And so in the absence of that guidance, the Planning Board has had a difficult time deciding what is and isn't appropriate. And so this is supposed to help them a bit. And the other thing that's been circulated is the planned unit development for Chainworks, which is the massive project that at the old transmission plant up on the hill. Council itself voted to allow Cornell to close Ezra's Tunnel. I don't think any of us expect that to happen imminently, but they have permission to do that now. Cornell wanted to do that. Otherwise, just a few notes for the public. One is that odd even parking is suspended again, and that this program of invoking odd-even parking only when necessary will only continue if people sign up for the notifications that all of you paid for, thank you, via the city website. So if you go to cityofithaca.org, sign up, click on the button on the right that says Swift 911, sign up for notifications, and specifically sign up for notifications about odd-even parking and whatever other issues are important to you. It's a great system. It works well. I've been getting notifications for all kinds of emergencies and odd-even situation and other things. The other big issue is that the commission's structure approved by the voters in November will be starting next year, and we are seeking commissioners for the four commissions, which I will review very briefly just to remind everybody. There's public safety and information, which covers policing and fire protection, other emergency services, court safety, the commons. The Parks, Recreation, and Natural Resources Commission, which covers parks, cemetery, the golf course, natural areas, including waterways, and recreational areas like the hockey rink. The Community Life Commission covers public art, rental housing, youth and youth development, refugee issues, diversity and inclusion issues, food systems, and the Mobility, Accessibility, and Transportation Commission. That includes bike and pedestrian issues, trails, disability awareness, parking issues, taxis, and other stuff. So we, each commission has nine commissioners on it. At most two per commission can be non-city residents that have some kind of stake in the city, meaning they work in the city, they volunteer, they're part of a nonprofit, et cetera. So you can apply for that on the city's website, which is, again, cityofithaca.org. That's it.
Thank you. Questions? Carol?
Oh. Thanks, Doc. What did you say about Chainworks? What's the stage of development that the developer, does this mean that they are ready to start building anything there, or where do they stand? Where do they stand with their environmental...
I believe there's a final environmental impact statement that is to be reviewed by the Planning Board. But the part that's going through council now is a planned unit development, which is a proposal for zoning for that particular project, special zoning, so that they can build the mix of industrial and residential uses that they're proposing. So, no, nothing is ready to be constructed yet.
Anyone else? Anna?
Just a quick follow-up question. I know that there was some discussion in the community about the amount of parking in that Chainworks development and the layout and the density. Are those things that will be reviewed in this process, or that's not?
Nope, that's exactly what the plan unit development is supposed to define, is what's allowed to be constructed, minimum parking requirements, if any, et cetera. I, too, have enjoyed interacting with everyone, including the ones who are retiring. So congratulations. Happy New Year. Happy holidays.
Thank you for coming and reporting to us. You've been great. Any other public official? Irene, did you want to report from anything from Caroline or not? All right. Let's move on to privilege of the floor for legislators. Dan Klein.
I have two things I wanted to say tonight. One is that the town of Danby has received a $435,000 grant. It's a lot of money for little town of Danby. It's from the DEC, and it's for stream bank stabilization along Brown Road in West Danby. There's a lot of people helped with this in Danby and Newfield. Danby town planner C.J. Randall, Danby highway superintendent Carl Seaman, the Newfield highway superintendent Kevin Bergen. What else? Oh, and Tompkins County, we funded the study that set this whole thing up, the Brown Road Restoration Design Study in 2016. So that's a good example of how, you know, small investment on our part has led to a bigger investment in the community. The project will take care of some stream bank erosion, flood control in the area, road stabilization, and it will prevent 2,000 tons of sediment annually from going into Cayuga Inlet. That's the equivalent of a commercial dump truck full of soil backing up to the inlet every other day, all year, nonstop. And then one other way that we are going to be involved is that when this project happens, probably in 2018, Soil and Water Conservation Service that we have a big part in will be part of that project. The other thing I wanted to say is just wanted to say hi and bye to the departing legislators. When I started 4 years ago, I was the only incoming legislator at that time. And everybody sort of took me under their wing, and people were very generous with their time and their wisdom, and I really appreciated it. And I will miss everybody. I really will.
Martha Robertson.
Well, ditto what Dan said in a second, but first I want to mention, I want to thank Lori and David for coming to talk about the Freeze Road Bridge. And make sure everybody knows that there is the first public meeting about this on Wednesday, January 10th at 7 o'clock at the Varna Community Association, 943 Dryden Road. So that'll be a really important meeting to talk about really what's required, what's possible, and what people are looking for. So again, it's Wednesday, January 10th at 7 o'clock at the VCA. I think it's really important to recognize that that's it is a historic structure, and it's also true that whatever you think about truck traffic, you really want to look at the hill that's just on the other side of the bridge, which is formidable even for cars. So, for our colleagues who are leaving, it's really bittersweet. It's really tough. It just doesn't really feel like, oh, you're not really going to be gone, are you? We're just going to have more seats at the table, aren't we? We're just going to. I think I've tallied up the years correctly. I think among you, including Peter Stein's service, we're seeing the completion of 64 years on the county legislature. Is that about right? Okay. Most of that, like Dooley's about half of that. Not quite. No, I think 24 years. Is that right? 24 years. So this is a lot of institutional memory that we've been grateful for and benefited from and going to miss. Can't tell you how much. So I wanted just to thank all of you deeply for everything that we've done together. And don't be strangers, you know, like every first and third Tuesdays, 5:30, come and tell us what you think. Thanks. Be careful what you wish for.
Will.
Thank you, Martha, and thank you, Irene, and for those kind words. It's a night for thanks, and I have been truly honored and had the pleasure of serving in this body for nine years. And to a person, I have enjoyed working with all of you. And I thought about going person after person, because each person brings out a different quality and strength and skill. I'm going to spare you, but one of the things is that when you sit meeting after meeting, we all get to know each of our pluses and minuses. But I want to thank my Republican colleagues. You are a minority, but to a person, I know that you care deeply about governance. And at a time when we live and our society seems to be devolving into sort of a tribal mentality, it is really good to know here, at least at the local level, we can work in common. And that's good. I want to thank our amazing staff, Michelle, Katrina, before Karen, and Kathy. I was astounded to be reminded tonight at a meeting that Kathy has been here for 31 years and doesn't show the signs of it. They are endlessly doing work and keeping us moving along in a proper way, and I just deeply appreciate everything they've done. I want to thank our leadership. This year was Mike and Dan. Years past, it was Martha. And we have had some amazingly good leaders, and that has also been a very positive part of experience. I wasn't here at our meeting where you said goodbye to Joe. I was traveling, but I did tune in, and I was thrilled to see the display of orange. We all know that he is incredibly missed, and it has been amazing for me to work with somebody who cares so deeply, who works so incredibly long, who is just so calm and reasonable. And, wow, I know he's going through a rough period, but I hope that things come out and that he will find a new stage of life that will be equally rewarding. Among the many people that I would comment if I were talking about individuals, I do want to sing out one, was my good friend Dooley. I look across the way to her, and Dooley, as we all know, is the person who is most attentive to language in our documents. And that's something that other people have at various times paid attention to, but Dooley more than most. And I'm saying that because we are fortunate tonight that all the elected folks are in our presence, are sitting. I can see Henry and Deborah and Anne and Amanda. Hopefully among one of you there'll be somebody who will be able to pick up the torch and continue Dooley's attentiveness.
I think that'll be Amanda.
Want to thank Faye for taking note of Jason's tie. I missed that, but as you know, I do love bicycles, and people keep asking, you know, what are you going to do? And now you have more time. And one of the things I have been doing and plan to continue doing a lot more of is cycling. And I want to throw an open invitation to every last one of you. If you want to go out and go for a bike ride, even now, I would be happy to do that. I got bikes, and
I'm going to take you up on that.
Martha for a while. So she keeps saying one of these days.
I'll get my snow tires.
There you go. All right. Anyway, it's been a pleasure. I wish you very much the best moving forward. Thank you.
Anyone else? Carol.
Dooley.
Carol, go ahead.
I see a hand going up. Okay, I'll go first. Will, that was lovely, and I also appreciate having gotten to know every single person here, even those with whom I spar regularly. I want to thank the staff. We really, you know, we come here and shoot our mouths off and, you know, and think about the bigger picture, but we really couldn't deliver any of the programs we try to deliver without our staff. And I had several aims in running. Chief among them was to serve the public interest. I want to thank the public because, you know, people, I'm amazed. We tell jokes here about the, you know, the five people who are watching. Well, I have more than that almost after every meeting, certainly after anything high profile that we do. There are probably 10 or 12 people who stop me and have noticed and have watched. So I appreciate that the public taking an interest. I appreciate in particular people who serve on our advisory boards and hope that more people step up to do that. So in addition to the aim of serving the public interest, I thought I needed to get tougher. I was not a tough person. I was kind of a wimp. And it's in my decade on the county legislature, between my colleagues on the legislature.
Can you please silence your electronic devices?
Between the lady in the Wegmans parking lot and some of my colleagues on the legislature, Jim Dennis, I think I can tick off that aim. I fulfilled that mission, and I'm going to move on to other things. I have a message here I just learned to send to a stuffed animal at the other end of the country. I haven't figured out how to hear the answer yet, but I'm about to. And maybe not have to just do it by messages through phones and stuffed animals. It's impossible to sum up 10 years of what I've done. I've thought about, you know, should I go through the issues that I was most pleased to work on? And there really were very many. I was interviewed earlier this week on Monday. Yet another person writing a book, an academic in this case, writing a book about the fracking fight. And I was reminded in this hour and a half that I spent talking with her about how much of a difference this community made to that whole question and how much input we were able to give and what a special place this is in the ways in which we put together the people who really care about the public interest and the smarts, the academic and the less academic ways in which people just pursue the information that we need to here to make something happen and not just to weigh in on off the seat of our pants. I've tried during the 10 years to bring a couple of questions, really three questions, to every single issue. And I feel good about having, I think I've made them clear, and I just, for the benefit of the record and those who are coming after me, they were, for every decision that we were going to make, who benefits, who pays, and to ensure as best as I could that everyone had an equal as possible seat at the table as those decisions were made. That's the way that I would sum up my time here, is in thanks to all of you and thanks to the public and thanks to the staff, and in urging everybody to continue to ask those good questions. Other than that, I don't know how many people here are old enough to appreciate this sign-off, but I will say good night and good luck. Look it up.
Let's go to Dooley.
I generally use privilege of the floor to mention something in the news, and I will do that tonight. But in passing, I will say that I've been your representative to the Metropolitan Planning Organization, the ITCTC, and I was at my last meeting of that today. The state does not have money to build new lines. The state does not have money to do many things. But the planning that goes on there cooperatively among the municipalities is a really good thing. And Fernando is an excellent leader for the group. And I hope that somebody will find that being a delegate there for the county equally fascinating. I did not expect a resolution from them today, but they had a resolution thanking me for my long service and memorializing my editorial skills, and they left the comma out. So I enjoyed that. The news I wanted to share tonight is not happy news. It has to do with the USDA and the organic animal rights, animal welfare rules that have been being worked on for like many years. It's been in the works. And this has to do with free-range chickens actually being out on the range, not just in theory. Lots of different animal welfare things. And at the federal level, after 14 years of policymaking, that has all been undone. So I wish you all well dealing with local stuff, but don't ignore what's happening at the federal level either. I know that many resolutions just make us feel good because we're commenting on something we care for, and they don't carry a lot of weight with our congressional representative necessarily, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't weigh in and comment. Any committees that follow issues that have serious federal actions being taken should feel free to weigh in on how that affects our constituents. So I will miss this, and I will watch you, but I don't think I'm going to come back every time.
Jim Dennis.
Thank you. It's hard to talk about yourself, but I'm not. It's not that difficult, actually. I'm going to use the words of Hunter Rawlings. He said, "I'll be brief if it takes all evening." But I really don't have a whole bunch to say. I spent 12 years here, and I dug out my campaign piece that I used in 2005. And I didn't look bad then, and I had a little darker hair. But some of the things I was privileged to work on were TCIDA. One of the things I wanted to do was increase jobs, broaden the tax base, and get involved in low and moderate income housing. We have done that. I was a part of that. One of the things I remember meeting over in the mental health building on the top floor in the conference room, and Steve Witcher was there and Bob DeLuca, and they had all the legislators when I came on, myself, Nate Shinagawa, some others, and they said, "Well, what are you going to do for us, you know, basically?" And I said, "Well, I will do my very best to provide resources for you so you can run your departments, because I'm a teacher. I don't want to run the mental health department or the sheriff's department or planning or any of them. My goal was provide resources, and you do that by adding to the tax base." And we were able to do that for many years and continue to do it all the time. There was a person in the room who, when I spent 13 years in city government, and I was involved in a project on East Hill representing the Eddie Gate Apartments, and that was Mac Travis's doing back in those days. And that was the beginning of the rehab of College Town. Whether you like it or not, that's how it all started. And Cornell came across the gorge and put themselves in the theater business on the city side of the gorge, which was a really big deal for them to do that. And now they're in the city forever on that side of the gorge. So that's kind of where I began in city government. And I feel like I'm walking away from here after 25 years. It's a third of my damn life, you know. So and I'm walking away with, I think, honor, integrity, not under indictment. And at least yet. And, you know, I have two cars that are leased cars, so, and I have no money in offshore accounts. So, you know, that's kind of how I feel, that it's been great fun, and I've learned a ton, and I've worked with some great colleagues here, and I think, you know, the privilege of being voted into office three times is okay. You know, I got voted out once, but that's okay too, and that's the way the circle turns. You know, what goes around comes around. So I appreciate all the things that I've learned, gained, what I've done with colleagues. No one person does any of it, and it's been a great place to be. And, you know, I can just say thank you to everyone who helped me be here.
Thank you. Anyone else? I'm sorry, Leslie, you had your hand up. Excuse me.
I'm not going to talk about you, Mr. Chair. I'll keep counting how many times you miss me. I'll just send
we
you a
always
personal
miss
note.
You, Leslie, but we're
I
glad
know.
When you're here.
I know. And, you know, all right now. You know, I do want to thank my colleagues who are leaving as well, Carol and Will and Jim, for the time we got to spend together. One of the things I appreciated about this body is that, yes, we didn't always agree, and I don't expect any political body will always agree, but we were cordial and respectful of people's viewpoints and willing to take criticism. That is one of the things I appreciate and respected about you all. Aside from the fact that there are some personal thanks, I'm beginning to feel like the old girl on this board now. I started here in 01. And, Jim, a third of your life is feeling like half of my life. I was the baby then. I came in early in October, and I was the baby. And now I am going to be the old girl left standing here. So y'all better watch out. Everybody, I'm going to start, you know, calling rank. For those of you who are coming in and taking these seats, I don't care what folks say. Thank you, Amanda, for stepping up with the commas and periods and so on. That is essential. Annie, Ulysses is known, and Trumansburg is known for bringing the energizing candy. I hope that you have a full serving of chocolates, especially peanut butter chocolates and chocolate mints. That must happen. Don't rob any banks to do it, but please. These late-night meetings, that has been dinner for some of us, and Jim has been very gracious in providing them. Amanda, there isn't summer that goes by that I don't get my fair share of green beans. So I don't know what you plant. I don't do zucchini, but I do green beans. Bill has supplied well the green beans, so I will take green beans. Tomatoes, yes, but I will take green beans. I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm pulling rank.
Do you like green beans?
Henry? Where are you? Oh, good, Henry, you're there. Carol's study of the various languages has been extremely inspiring to me. It's made me go and look up many of them. So, Henry, you're on. come with it. It's very important. In all seriousness, Shauna, you're already here, girl. You better, you know.
It's too late.
Bring some cookies. Bring some. You're already here. But in all seriousness, I do want to thank each and every one of you. I've learned so much from each and every one of you. When I got on board, the people who mentored me who were here, Mike was one of those people who was here when I got on board. It's always such a great experience. I wish you all well. In some respects, I'm a little jealous, but I'll get over it. I chose to do this again. It'll be 17 years that I've been on this body, 17 budgets. Can y'all believe it? I sat through, I don't know how many budget meetings. It's been a long time. But I do wish you well in anything and whatever it is that you choose to do going forward. And thank you for your service.
Shauna?
Hi there. As the newest sworn-in person legislator, I want to very sincerely thank you for your years of devotion and dedication on this legislature prior to whenever politics was sexy. You were the ones that dedicated your time and your energy. And over the past year, I know that the new legislators have been sitting in and really observing and taking note of what you're doing and the things that we want to take from you and the words that you say. And personally, I want to thank you for letting me pick your brains at times. I do have every one of your phone numbers, so please don't ban mine. It's been really important to have that transition and to really have your openness to mentor us. And I'm sure I speak for the legislators-elect. Thank you for your service, and thank you for your mentorship.
Rich John.
Just because it's off cycle, he's not here tonight, but Peter Stein resigned because he moved out of his district 2 months ago, was it? No. And I just wanted to mention him as well for his many years of service and to thank him and to recognize how helpful he was to me personally in getting me up to speed when I joined the legislature. And I hope, Peter, if you're watching at home, I hope you're doing well. Thanks.
Anna?
I just wanted to add my thank you to all of you who are leaving. I was going to add Peter as well. Thank you, Rich. And keep it brief for me. It's really hard that you guys are leaving. I'm very excited about the people coming in, but you all have given every single one of us, and just for me, a tremendous amount of inspiration and support. Dooley, you are quiet strength to me. Those would be the words that I would use for you. And thank you. You are a mentor in that way, whether you knew it or not for me. I will take that to heart. And Carol, your compassion and heart and commitment to making sure that everyone has a voice will be my inspiration that I'll take with me. And Will, someone once told me, you are the conscience of the legislature, and you have become a really important person that I trust to reflect deeply on the issues. And that is something that will stick with me. And Jim, your wit and your humor and your grit have been deeply inspiring and help me build the backbone. Thank you. So thank you to all of you guys, and I will really miss you.
I'd like to add on to that, too, that I'm going to miss the folks here. You know, not only are we a team trying to do the best for our constituents and for the people of our county, but in one sense we're a family. And families sometimes have members move away. Or leave town, or don't see them quite so often. And that's how I sort of feel tonight with the folks that are moving on. Carol, you have been a member of the legislature and have asked questions and that's a good thing. You have stopped us in the middle of some of our things when we probably should have been stopped and brought forth questions and asked for different kinds of things that that help clarify whatever we were talking about at the legislature. A lot of times we may have grumbled about that, but it was a good thing, and you were doing it for the right reasons. Your advocacy for environmental issues has been second to no one's here. And talking about and ethics, you always have been out there to do the ethical thing, whether it was a possible conflict with a spouse or something like that that made it so you couldn't cast the vote. You were always right to ask about it and to have the proper ethical path to take. And that's something that we should all think about and make sure we're always doing that kind of thing. You've been a great representative for the city. You've always talked about the city being important, various issues, city versus county. You've always brought those to our attention. So thank you for your representation here.
Can I give you a slight correction, Mike? The city is a part of the county.
It most certainly is part of the county, no question about it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that you've noticed.
Bill, you have any task that's been given to you, you have performed splendidly as chairs of committees, working with the tourism boards, shouldering the complaints from constituents that weren't even in your districts. I'm thinking about the Biggs parcel issue. You've been an advocate for things that are happening here and bringing to our attention various kinds of celebrations and activities that are going on, and have quietly and carefully given us your advice on things, and that is so very important. Jim, I don't know who we're going to go to know everybody in every community, and like you do. You know, if we're talking about some issue, well, I could call so-and-so. He'll know this, or I could talk to her. She was there, you know, when that happened or something like that. That's a wonderful resource that you have brought to our legislature and which will be missed. And you did it always in the best possible way because of your long term in city government and in county government and as a teacher. That's a pretty important thing to young people of our community. I always enjoyed when you'd say, oh, yeah, I had him in third grade, when someone comes and speaks to us. That's pretty important. I will ask, I know you're not under indictment, you told us that, but will you please take the sparklers with you until we can... Until we can persuade Dan that we should join the rest of upstate New York. They technically are still not something we ought to have.
They're on that side of the room, so I think they'll get up to Dan here before too long.
Dooley, you and I came on the Tompkins County Board of Representatives the same year. You've actually had continuous service. I sat out one term, but you've been a great friend. And you've been a particularly good friend to Tompkins County and the environment. Your activity on things as mundane as the Hillview Landfill Committee and your dedication to our Environmental Management Council for so many years, your activities on the Planning Committee, on the and chairing that, and on the various things that you've been interested in, facilities and infrastructure, highways and bridges. You've brought expertise to us. You're constantly bringing us some scientific issue that you've uncovered in your proofreading activities and things that we didn't know anything about, but you wanted us to know about. Even tonight, you brought something to our attention. You've been a good friend to all of us, and we will sure miss you. Thanks. Anyone else? Thank you. We can all feel a little bit melancholy, but happy to. I guess I go into the chair's report next, and there's a few things I want to mention. Kathy Covert brought to my attention that after the end of the year and into the next year, there may be some special committee meetings, and it may be necessary for that to happen before all the new committees are named and the people on them. So what I'm going to suggest is that the people who are coming onto the legislature simply take the position for this brief period of time of the one who had their seat before them, just so we can do those special meetings. After that, the assignments will come down for the committees and the people who are appointed to those committees. I want to say that I mentioned that our interim county administrator, Paula Younger, will be leaving us in January. So we've gone to the next person in succession. That's our county attorney, Jonathan Wood, and talked with him. And Jonathan will be filling the void of administration between the time that Paula leaves us and the time that Jason Molino takes up the reins as county administrator. And I want to thank John for being willing to do that. I know this is on top of his other duties as county attorney, but it's something that we really need somebody at that level to whom department heads and other folks can bounce important things. And in the same breath as that, we've really got to thank our department heads here. They've stepped up during this time of transition about the county administration, and the people in the administration department have stepped up, and we thank them for that. I've had emails from department heads saying, how can I help? And I think that's so important, because they all have their own departments to run as well, but they're part of our team, and they know it. And so thank you to all of them. Carol Chock has made a request, and that is when we adjourn this meeting to go into executive session or recess the meeting, she would like to have us all come up and do a photograph, because we don't have a photograph of the current configuration of the legislature now with Shauna on it. So we'll be doing that. When the new legislature comes on in January, we'll probably have a photograph also taken of the new members. But, Carol, I think that's a great idea. So before you run off, let's try to get together for Carol and see if we can't all get a photograph. I wanted to mention about the Bicentennial Commission's last meeting, in which we were talking about the issue of Native Americans and recognition of them in as part of our Bicentennial program. We had invited and were pleased to have Sachem George, who is a chief of the Cougar Nation, come and talk to us. A couple of the things we were talking about doing and for long-term recognition is the possibility of asking the city to allow us to have on Cayuga Street some signs with the word Cayuga in actual Cayuga language spelled out, so that people could see that and perhaps question, you know, what is that language, and know that Cayuga is Cayuga. And it's an interesting spelling. We've been trying to. There seems to be different ways of looking at the way Native American languages are spelled, which is not easy, and we're trying very hard to do it and not have it put up something on a sign that might be spelled wrong. The other thing is we're looking at some kind of a kiosk or other representation of the Cayuga Nation or the Haudenosaunee Nation in Nations at Stewart Park, and we're talking about what that might be, perhaps some of the clan symbols that they had, such as the turtle or the heron, or there's a third one here that was that. But that's a possibility. And the third item that we're talking about is the long-term presence in the Center for History and Culture, of a permanent exhibit of some kind for the Native American folks from our area. And I know the History Center has been talking about that. So those are some things that are happening for those of you who are wondering about how our bicentennial also honors the people that were here before Tompkins County, and that is the Native American tribes. Native American nations, I don't want to say tribes. Tonight I will be appointing our poet laureate for her second term. That's Zee Zahava, and she's done a wonderful job for us. This has been recommended by Community Arts Partnership. John Spence has told us this, and we've been traditionally giving each of our poets laureate 2 years. And so I will reappoint her and invite her to come to the organizational meeting next January, pretty quick, and do a reading for us. That's pretty much what I have on my report. Are there any questions I can answer? All right, let's go to our direct report staff and ask for a report from our interim county administrator, Paula Younger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good evening, everyone. I just have a brief update for you and a couple of comments. It's been 3 years or more in the making. Today at approximately 2 p.m., accompanied by the county attorney, I had the pleasure of signing all of the county documents regarding the sale of the old library building. I am assured that this coming Friday at 11 a.m., the closing will be complete. I also wanted to extend congratulations to Mr. Molino. Jason and I, we have already talked. We've already made some arrangements to have some conversations before he comes on board at the end of January, and I'm also making some arrangements that after I transition, he and I can get together periodically to give him updates on things. I think that it's an excellent choice for this government, and I think you can see just by his personality and his family, it's going to be a wonderful choice for this community. So I'm really glad to see him come on board. I also wanted to say to my colleague, Jonathan, it's going to be tough. It'll be all right, but I'll be around if you need me. And he enjoys Thai for lunch, so you know, make sure that he gets that. To the outgoing legislators, I wish you well. It has been a pleasure working with all of you. And actually, as I was listening to the various farewells, I realized that I've probably experienced about three different complements of the legislature. I've been around for 11 years, and I have had the pleasure of doing so many interesting projects and working directly with almost each of you. So I will tell you that when I was offered the position of deputy administrator, I realized that this was going to be an interesting encounter for me, coming into local government, having oversight of day-to-day operations. It was indeed a learning opportunity. I knew it was going to be stimulating. I knew it was going to be challenging. I knew it was going to be rewarding, and you did not disappoint. I've had an opportunity to work with some talented department heads and some really wonderful members of the community. And, you know, I've said to folks this will definitely not be the last chapter, that there are some new and exciting things ahead. And I'm really ready to get started because I've had such great preparation here with all of you and with the wonderful members of our community. I can't say exactly where, but let's just say that I will be traveling more uphill instead of down to come to my office, and that I'm adding a little more blue to my wardrobe. And perhaps in the beginning of the year, during our last meeting, I might be able to say more. But thank you all so very much. And also, Mike, thank you so much for acknowledging the County Administration Department team, because once again, they are a fantastic group of folks to work with. And I am going to miss them, but I really appreciate the time that I've had to work with all of them. So thank you all very much.
Any questions for Paula?
Yeah, Carol? I want your cell phone later.
You want my cell phone?
Yeah. I realized that all my contact information for you.
You can have my cell phone number.
Let's go to Jonathan Wood, our county attorney.
Thanks, Mike. A few things I wanted to update you on. As you recall, a few meetings ago, the legislature authorized me to enter into an agreement with a law firm to represent us in the opioid lawsuits. I've since selected a firm known as Napoli Skolnick, which is a firm out of Millville, New York. They're one of the two large firms that are representing most of the counties. I like the retainer agreement in particular and got an opportunity to speak with them quite a bit. We've since signed a retainer agreement, and today I got a draft of a complaint, which is 200-something pages, so I'll have to spend some time reviewing that, but that's moving forward. Also, wanted to let, in addition to the closing on the old library, which we have begun and expect to be completed by Friday, as Paula mentioned. Also on Friday, we hope to have the agreement done with the trust company. Rich could tell you more about that in his report. But those two projects were things which Joe was working on a lot before, and looks like we'll get those majorly completed by Friday. And to the legislators who are leaving, you know, it's really been a pleasure working with all of you, and I really wish you luck in the future things you do.
Questions for Jonathan? Martha.
Well, just congratulations to both of you on getting those deals done. That's two really big checks off the list. And Jonathan, I just wondered if you had any plans to go skiing in January, and as you, I think, usually do.
I do. One kind of fortunate thing is that there's no snow in Colorado.
Yay, global warming. Okay.
I will figure something out.
Thank you very much for stepping up. That's great. Thanks.
We did tell him he could ski at Greek Peak if he wanted to. Thank you, John.
Sure.
And thank you again for agreeing to help us during the hiatus.
Sure.
Director of Finance Rick Snyder is not here tonight. He told us last time that he would not be able to be here tonight. Is there anything, Paula, from him that we should be aware of?
No, he didn't leave me. Okay. I think we're fine.
Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? David McKenna.
Yes, Mike. I'd like to pull Resolution Y, document ID 7488, which is the Freeze Rose Bridge resolution. And we will readdress that.
Huh?
Sorry. It says Y here. Okay, speed.
Is that V?
No, it's Y. It's V, rather. I'm sorry.
Resolution V is withdrawn. Anyone else? Anyone else? There will be a withdrawal of one appointment on the consent agenda, and that is out of the Health and Human Services Committee, the appointment of Betty Balcom to the Office of Aging, Balcom to the Office of Aging Advisory Committee. Any other things to be added or withdrawn? Okay, let's go to the consent agenda. Oh, before I do that, I've had a request, and I think it's proper, from Rich John to move up one of our resolutions because we have some folks here waiting for them. Let's move up Resolution Z, which is out of Government Operations Committee. Dan, could you move that?
Sure. Yes, I'd like to move Resolution Z, resolution to authorize execution of the Memorandum of Understanding with the participants in the Tompkins Center for History and Culture.
Is there a second? Seconded by Rich. Discussion. Rich.
Thank you, Mike. And we have three people here tonight, Jennifer Tavares, Mac Travis, and Rod Howe. And if there's questions for them, they certainly are available to answer them. I would like to give the legislature just a brief update. As Jonathan mentioned, it does appear we've completed negotiations with the trust company to sign a purchase agreement, and that looks like that'll get done this week. That was an extensive negotiation. It's really good to get to that point. At the same time, we've been working on the project with the not-for-profits that will end up as tenants of the center. And I would say, to borrow from Hillary Clinton, it takes a village to raise a center for history and or Tompkins Center for History and Culture. The number of people that have been involved and have stepped up, both within county government and in the not-for-profits and in the community, is remarkable. And the amount of work involved in getting this project to this point is very large. We've made some great progress, and we actually have a picture of the one of the preliminary designs. Michelle, are we able to put that up?
Let's suspend for a second to put the screens down.
Again, this is not a final design, but this is one of the latest mock-ups, and it shows one of the principal new changes that came through, where the trust company is going to have a small office space, perhaps with an ATM, that was going to be in the main lobby. And after a lot of discussion, the idea was taken to move it to actually where the former entrance to the bank used to be, over to the right on the picture. And it does a lot of very good things for the project in terms of freeing the lobby as a grand entrance area, providing segregated space for the trust company, reusing the historical entrance at that point. And I would give credit to Jennifer Tavares for bringing this idea forward and really explaining why this would be a useful thing to do, and also agreeing to make changes to the visitor center, which you see next to it. I think that's a very good example of how the different parties have worked together on this project and continue to just make it better and better. I'm very excited about what we're doing here. And towards that end, as I said, this is a very complicated project. There's many, many moving parts. And along the way, Mac Travis in particular suggested we need a memorandum of understanding. While not legally binding, what the memorandum of understanding is intended to do is to act as a guidance document for everybody involved to say, this is the direction we're all pulling together. And it sets commitments for all the parties, the county, but mostly the not-for-profits, on what the project will look like in terms of space and rent, and also having them make a commitment to participate in the capital campaign, which is ongoing. And I would just mention some very good news from New York State, that the Arts and Cultural Facilities Improvement Program has awarded $1,060,000 to this project, and the Empire State Development Market New York Program has awarded $305,000, which were the full amounts of the grant asks for this project. And I think that's an indication that New York State is seeing the value of it. The capital campaign, as I said, is underway, and we've had very good response from our community. So they are pursuing the capital campaign in tandem, working together, and the MOU recognizes that they're doing that. The MOU also provides that they will participate in a governance council so that we're going to have all of these not-for-profits working together inside this facility and sharing services and sharing space to be efficient and to get synergy with each other. So the governing council will be the group that will be making the rule systems on how this is all going to run. And that's a complicated thing, and they will all be committing in the MOU to work together to do that. We're also providing some basic information on what a template lease will look like, so they have an understanding of what they would be agreeing to when they finally negotiate a lease with the county. In at least general terms, but as far as we could be particular, we've tried to bring that down to as close as we can. At any rate, that's the purpose of the MOU. It just passed the GO committee prior to this meeting, and it's before the legislature.
Great. Anyone else? Leslin.
So this is a general question. These are agreements for tenant organizations. And who or where does an organization go to? Who do they contact if they're interested in being a tenant in this new facility?
Well, I would say that if you look at Schedule F to the agreement, it is a draft of a policy for admitting new organizations to the center. But at this point, since we're still in formation, this group could talk to the county, to us, but also to any of the represented not-for-profits. Come in any door. Let's have the discussion.
Okay. I'm looking for a little bit more specificity here so they can talk to us at the county. Who at the county would someone call if they're interested in being in getting a tenant agreement, if they're interested in being in the facility?
Certainly to the county administrator.
County administration. Thank you.
Someone else had a hand. Carol?
I did. So I just wanted to be clear. So what's in our red packets on the left side, are these all the schedules or are some of them still what's in the packet?
I believe all the schedules are on the left side.
So they're all in one package now that goes along with the resolution. Great, thank you. And other than that, I want to thank everybody involved in this project. You, Rich, you've gone well above and beyond the job duties of a legislator on this project, and we really appreciate it that you were able to do that and brought real talent to and background and skill to be able to get all these pieces, help get all these pieces in place for us. And then just to everybody in the community who has participated in this, boy, it is so exciting that we are going to have this project downtown. I think it's a real plus to our community, so I'm really thrilled that we're able to vote on at least this far before I leave.
Thank you, Carol.
Looking forward to coming in and hanging out. We'll have lots of time.
Anyone else? Dooley.
Is the basement space intended just for storage?
Some of it is going to be conditioned space for the History Center to use for their collection. There will be other storage areas for the other not-for-profits. And we've also talked about using some flexible storage space down there for something we've talked about, like a virtual not-for-profit that can use the facilities at a nominal amount and have some storage space but not offices.
Anyone else? Well, I'd like to add my thanks to Jennifer and Mac and Rod for coming over tonight to be part of this. And it is an exciting project, historic, and yet part of the future. Anything else, Rich, on that?
No.
Okay. Did we vote?
No.
I guess we have to vote on the resolution. I think it was moved and seconded. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. We'll suspend long enough to put the screens back up.
Can I just say a really quick thank you to everyone for your vision and your support? We appreciate it.
Let's move some other business up so we have some planning staff here tonight, particularly Megan. Why don't we go to the Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee resolutions. Martha Robertson, would you move AA, BB, and CC?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. In your packet, resolution AA is page 61, and then you can go from there. Resolution AA, document 7463A, negative declaration for Community Housing Development Fund award to West End Heights. I so move.
Is there a second? Seconded by Anna. Discussion? Carol?
I'm sorry, folks. I have to recuse myself on this. Who knew that INHS was involved in this project? I didn't until the night before it came to committee. When I said to my husband, what's West End? What do you know about West End Heights? And he said, huh? I don't know anything about West End Heights. And then I described what project it was. He said, oh, we're a consultant to that project. I just didn't know what name they had picked.
You are permitted to abstain. Anything else? Ready to vote on the negative declaration? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? We have one abstention.
In resolution BB, document 7465, authorization to disperse county funds to the Community Housing Development Fund for West End Heights. I so move.
Is there a second? Seconded by Dooley. Discussion on this one. Martha.
This is a really exciting project and so needed in the community. It will provide 60 rental units, 30 of them for people with mental health disabilities or diagnoses, and then half of them, the other half, low-income housing for the general public. I will point out that this uses $100,000 from Tompkins County and is it $150,000 from the city, Megan? $150,000 from the city of Ithaca from our allocations to the Community Housing Development Fund. This uses up the county's funds for the year in the development fund. So keep that in mind when we talk at some point in the future about the Housing Capital Reserve Fund proposal. So this is, we have been very fortunate to have many more projects come to the development fund since getting going and accelerating the interest and the uptake of the resources. And this just says that the county's portion is all used up for this whole year. So, but it's really important to get this project going. It's really very important and a well-programmed, well-designed project.
Anything else? Mike. Mike Sigler.
I need to recuse myself from this vote. I probably should have done it from the last one, too. West End Heights is actually a tenant of mine. The people building it are, they're a tenant in one of in the property I own. So.
Well, you certainly, I don't see any reason you can't recuse yourself. Jonathan, do you think that's a conflict?
I mean, they pay me money, so I think to be safe.
Okay. So you may abstain.
Can you mark that down for the last one, too, just to be safe? That would be great.
Yes.
Sorry.
Retroactively, we'll have show you an abstention on that. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? We have one abstention.
Two abstentions.
Oh, I'm sorry, two abstentions.
And Resolution CC, Document 7462, appropriation from the Contingent Fund for Rental Housing Vacancy and Rent Survey. And I so move.
Is there a second? Seconded by Anna. Discussion. Martha?
And this is not to hire the consultant yet. We're still in the, Megan is still in the works with Katie Borghella to sort out how the money will best be used for this purpose, but it's to move it into the coming year's budget.
Julie?
Having just heard you say into the coming year's budget, should it say the 2018 budget then? Down in line 20.
Rick?
Megan McDonald from planning.
I'm impersonating Rick tonight. With his permission, I should add. I spoke with him before he left town, and he did say that it is really up to your discretion, and if you would prefer to substitute 2018 in this resolution, that either way works on his end.
Just say add that for the following budget adjustment for 2018?
Yeah, to specify for the 2018 budget, correct.
So that's the way you're moving it, Martha?
Absolutely.
Is that all right with the seconder? Ready to vote on this one? Yep. Go ahead, Shona. Oh, I thought maybe you were raising your hand. All right. This takes a short form roll call, please.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Are there any no's? That's unanimous. Thank you. Greg Potter, are you here for a particular reason? All right, we'll go to the consent agenda next. Although it's long. So the consent agenda has appointments. There's quite a number of them, and I'll read them. Out of the Government Operations Committee to the Ethics Advisory Board, Dennis Reagan and Dooley Kiefer. Out of Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee to the Environmental Management Council, Stephen Bisson, Stephen Nicholson, Michelle Henry, Peggy Ficken. To the Planning Advisory Board, term expires 12/31/2020, Leslie Schill, Andrew Zepp, Martha Armstrong, Fernando de Aragon, Joseph Bose, and with term expiring December 31st, 2019, Marcus Reel. The Water Resources Council, Elizabeth Cameron, Faye Benson, Ed Gottlieb. To the Soil and Water Conservation District Board of Directors, Aaron Ristow. From the Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee to the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Kip Kephart and Robert Brown. To the Facilities, out of Facilities and Infrastructure Committee to the Air Services Board, Larry Baum and Michael Gary Hilf. To the Hillview Road Landfill Citizens Advisory Committee, Joel Gagnon. To the out of the Health and Human Services Committee, to the Office for the Aging Advisory Committee, Rebecca Sherwood. To the Personal Emergency Response Service Advisory Board, Nancy McKeon and Beth Harrington. To the Community Mental Health Services Board, Kaki Wunderlich, Mary Hutchins, Kevin McKenna, Stu Bergman, August Duplan, and Maria Morag, Mental Health Subcommittee, Jean Poland, Mary Hutchins, Tracy Decker. To the Substance Abuse Subcommittee, Thomas Lippa, Stu Bergman. To the Development Disabilities Subcommittee, Sheila McInerney. To the Board of Health, Christina Moylan. We have some resolutions. If you want them off, just say so. Resolution A, award of contract, purchase and implementation of an electronic case management software system for the Early Intervention Program Health Department. That's ID 7501. Resolution B, budget transfer across budgeting units, medical examiner, and planning and coordination children with special care needs in the Health Department. That's ID 7500. Resolution C, approval of intermunicipal recreation partnership agreement, ID 7483. Resolution D, to amend resolution number 2017-9 of January 17, 2017, determination and certification of county clerk's allowances, annual expenses for administering mortgage. That's ID 7461. Resolution E, designation of newspaper, ID 7452. Resolution F, correction of errors, ID 7451. Resolution G, date of 2018 organizational meeting, that's ID 7446. Resolution H, adoption of apportionment of taxes for 2018, that's ID 7441. Resolution I, return school taxes, that's ID 7440. And Resolution J, return village taxes, ID 7439. Out of the Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee, Resolution K, a resolution to increase state support for Cornell Cooperative Extension County Associations in the state of New York. Out of the Budget and Capital, out of Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Resolution L, authorization to participate in various contracts let by any government entity of the United States of America. That's ID 7480. Resolution M, payment of multi-year tourism capital grant, for 2017, that's ID 7475. Resolution N, authorizing 2018 payments for Tompkins-Cortland Community College operating budget, that's ID 7453. Resolution O, authorization to disperse funds, county administration, that's ID 7448. Resolution P, delegating to the finance director of the County of Tompkins, New York, the power to authorize the issuance of and to sell $10 million in revenue anticipation notes of said county in anticipation of receipt of state aid during the fiscal year of said county commencing January 1, 2018. That's ID 7447. Resolution Q, authorization to sign drafts, checks for the county administrator, to the county administrator, ID 7445. Resolution R, authorization for finance director to make year-end transfers, appropriations, and budget adjustments as required. That's ID 7444. Resolution S, town and city budgets and printing of tax rates, ID 7443. Resolution T, approving completed tax rolls and directing the executing and delivery of warrants. That's ID 7442. I can't believe we got all through those and nobody asked for any of them to come up. That's a first.
Okay. You want to move?
Don't pressure a lot.
You want to move?
Carol, you need to say something before we vote?
No, I was going to move them.
Oh, you're moving them. Moving the consent agenda. Is there a second? Seconded by Leslin. All in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. All right, that was a stroke of business. It's time for standing and special committee reports. Let's go to first to the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McBean Claiborne is our chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee has not met since this last legislature meeting. However, I do want to take this opportunity to say thank you to everyone who served on the committee this year, all the subcommittees. You did hear from me the last time about all the work that was being done by subcommittees. We continue to do that work. We will resume the committee meetings in the new year. So happy new year to everyone. Be mindful that diversity and inclusion should be a normal part of what we do every day. So thank you again, and thank you for your commitment as a county to making sure that diversity and inclusion matter. That's my report.
Questions? Thank you, Leslie. Next is Public Safety Committee. Rich John is the chair.
The Public Safety Committee has not met since our last meeting. We will be meeting this Thursday, and we'll be getting a report on the Swift Reach demo, which is part of emergency response, and transacting some other business. Close out the year.
Questions? Thank you, Rich. I think you have a resolution. Resolution U?
Yes, I do. This is appropriation from contingent fund, additional cost of hiring a senior probation officer in 2017, Department of Probation and Community Justice. And I would move it.
Seconded by Dooley. Discussion. Go ahead.
Because of the withdrawal by New York State of the waiver for our double bunks at the jail, we are trying to anticipate our move to increase our alternatives to incarceration programs, and one of them comes from a new hire at the probation department. And because of losing the waiver January 1st, we wanted to move up that schedule, and they have somebody they can place now, so we're spending some 2017 money to start early. That's the purpose of the resolution.
Okay, ready to vote?
Short
form roll call.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Are there any no's? That's unanimous. You done, Rich?
That's it, Mike. Thank you.
Martha?
Yeah, I don't know if this is under jail safety, jail study or public safety, but can you give us an update on the community justice coordinator search?
We'll be meeting tomorrow morning at 9:30 to start that process. The committee that's assisting Paula is going to have its first meeting.
And are the application, is the deadline?
The deadline is the 21st.
For submissions, okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And I think we have roughly 18 applications.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would add that I'm very happy with the number of people that have applied. This is, people seem interested in it, which is good.
All right, let's go next to Health and Human.
Mr. Chairman, I ask a quick question just about that search committee.
Certainly.
I might have slept when it was mentioned, but may I just ask how was that committee put together, the search committee?
Paula?
Well, it's basically those that had been primarily involved from the very beginning in sort of fashioning the, you know, the idea of this position and its responsibilities. Rich is going to serve on it, as well as Anna. We'll also have the district attorney, Pat Buchel, our director of probation, Sharon McDougall from mental health. I'm committing all this from memory now. Susie Cook, just because of her longstanding experience on CJATI and knowing a lot of our community-based programs. And a representative from the sheriff's office. I'm not sure whether it's going to be Brian or Ken, but one of those.
Thank you.
Anything else? Let's move on to the Health and Human Services Committee. Anna Kellis is chair.
We met yesterday, and there's a resolution that will be coming to the next legislative meeting that was passed unanimously out of HHS, and that was a request for the shelter fee requirement that is currently a requirement at the state level. So we are requesting that particular requirement be removed. There was also a draft of that resolution that was sent to NYSAC for the Public Health and Mental Health Standing Committee to support that across all counties. We had an hour-long discussion that opened with a 20-minute documentary on supervised injection sites. It was a local documentary made 2 years ago called Caring Communities, followed by a presentation from the director of the Southern Tier AIDS program to highlight the process and outcomes and effectiveness of the needle exchange program. The intention of showing that was acknowledging that the program was an extremely contentious program about 25 years ago. At the time when the needle exchange programs were initiated, they were pilots because they were contentious and we didn't have a ton of data. At the time, 53% of new HIV cases were as a result of sharing needles in New York State. 24 years later, the new cases of HIV due to needle exchange or sharing needles is 3%. That as a public health measure, the only time we see those types of improvements, that extreme, that powerful, are in studies of like vaccination, successful vaccination. So it's a pretty powerful result. And he was showing the parallel between that and the culture, climate, as well as the research around supervised injection sites. All of the experts that were in the documentary, we had a doctor who works in the emergency room. We had the staff from STAP, Dr. Klapak again, who, by the way, put together a bunch of research and submitted a report for anyone, for us, and if anybody wants to read it, on the history, the global experience with supervised injection facilities. And he noted that there are over 100 facilities in the world, supervised injection sites now. There's 37 years of data. There has not been a single death, although there's been over 10 million injections. There are 11 new supervised injection sites that are going in Canada. There are 3 states that are pushing to have supervised injection sites. There are a significant number of supervised injection sites going in throughout Europe. This is not a new thing, I guess, was his point of saying, and I appreciated it. The intention of the discussion was not to take any action. It was not to take any stand. The intention was that the state has an assembly bill that's active. There's discussions happening at the state. There are professional organizations that have taken a stand for them. And it's important, given that the discussion is happening, that we get on top of the information that exists. So that was its purpose. It was video recorded if anybody wants to watch it. Sorry, that was a long summary, but it was an hour discussion, so it was very engaged. And that's my full report.
Questions? Dan?
Not a question, it's a comment. There was a resolution on the consent agenda that came out of Health and Human Services Committee, and so I couldn't bring it up then. I just want to mention it now. It's about the recreation partnership. And I just didn't want to let this moment go by without acknowledging what an excellent program this is. This was formulated by a county employee, Janice Johnson, about 20 years ago. She's still our employee. She's still in the County Youth Services Department. And this is like this is an award-winning program that has been duplicated elsewhere and tried to be duplicated elsewhere and failed. So it's just another example of Tompkins County being out in front, really being a pioneer in intermunicipal cooperation, and just a shout-out to one of our own employees that did this.
Go ahead, Anna.
I just wanted to add thank you, Dan, for that, because she's an extremely important and hardworking employee. What I didn't communicate is the message that was communicated at Health and Human Services. Just because there's a lot of data about supervised injection sites that are positive doesn't mean that's necessarily what we should do right away, putting it in front of anything else. What was acknowledged and I really appreciated was there are a lot of solutions that we're all looking at as a community. The LEAD program, other alternatives to incarceration, mental health services, all of these are part of the solution. This is just one of many. The question for all of us is to really look hard at the concerns that have been raised, limited resources and how to prioritize, public perception, how far will people travel and want to travel for it, law enforcement, is it going to bring in more dealers? That's a question they have. We need data for communities of our size. There's tons of issues. So the conversation was very balanced, and I appreciated that. And if it is going to move forward in a discussion, every angle of it would need to be investigated. But I just wanted to make sure that people understood the balance.
Will?
Anna, thank you for that report, and thank you for putting together what was one of the most interesting committee meetings I've been to. I would encourage everyone to view the documentary that the committee was shown. It was just very well done, and it was very very topical and very local. I think of myself being aware of the world, but I was not aware that you could go out the door of our toward DeWitt Park and run literally within about 20 feet to an area where there's regular use of injectable drugs. And then another prime site just happened to be a building that we are about to sell in 2 days. But I was unaware. So it's a really, really well done. I do hope that this continues by relatively soon. I realize that it's not clear what the next step is, but that there are many different possibilities. And I think, thank you for bringing this to our attention.
Absolutely.
Martha.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate the invitation to go look at videos, et cetera. We all have a lot of committee responsibilities, et cetera. I would hope that at some point there's a summary, I mean a half an hour maybe, that can come to this full body so that everybody at least has whatever the basics, the most important information. I know there will be public meetings and et cetera, but it's helpful to have all of us see at least the same baseline information right here.
Yeah, I would say the report by Dr. Klepak, it's only 6 pages. It's a great place to start. I will give it to Kathy and have her put it in everybody's mailbox. And there's also the PowerPoint presentations from last month and this month, and we can put that as a packet together to start. And then I'm happy to answer anyone's questions and continue to give everyone information as I have it.
Jim.
A couple of questions. I know there's a bill in the State Assembly. Does that have a Senate sponsorship?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's just in the Assembly.
My other question is, it's still illegal it's not a question, it's illegal in the United States, right?
Correct.
Okay. So if, in fact, the State Assembly and the Senate and the governor signs a safe injection site law, what does that mean?
It allows for a pilot, and it allows for specifically that those who initiate a pilot and work at a pilot are not subject to any criminal. So it's basically modeled after European and Canadian laws that allow for waivers in order to create pilots that can collect data in the process of doing this work.
So the federal government wouldn't then come after?
Correct.
Okay.
Mike Sigler.
I have a quick question. I mean, I know that you're saying that there's a lot of data and stuff, but I mean, I was just reading articles this week. I just wanted to pull one up quick. I mean, it seems like Vancouver, they've still seen a 20% increase in overdose calls. So while it's, you know, an interesting concept, it hasn't seemed to mitigate the problem. And that's, I guess, what's the argument? I mean,
so the number of deaths in facilities and neighborhoods surrounding supervised injection sites, their data shows significant decrease in the number of deaths from overdose. And the injections that have happened in supervised injection sites, over 10 million, there have been zero deaths. And so the point of that is the greatest win with the supervised injection sites is to reduce death. And then ultimately some of the other additional benefits have been that it significantly increases the number of people that end up in treatment through this project and through the program, and also significantly reducing transmission of HIV, transmission of hepatitis B, hepatitis C, significant reductions in emergency room visits, so reduced cost. And there's a couple other side effects that have been consistently positive. So, you know, if we're looking at one figure, again, as a scientist, I don't recommend looking at one figure. I recommend looking at every single impact, and all of them collectively are what people need to make their decisions on.
Carol?
Yeah, some of the figures were astounding, though. The number of deaths here in this county were 14 21 two years ago, but 14 just through June, halfway through this year. or 14. So, you know, it's the number is just increasing, you know, exponentially, and from the years before that as well. I was going to ask Will. I think that what Will was talking about was not watch the video for the whole hour or more of discussion that we had, but what was the length of the video?
20 minutes, 20 and a half minutes.
They brought us of the people in town, including a pharmacist, for example, talking about, you know, the change that she's seen in life in front of her pharmacy and in her pharmacy over the last few years, and you know, people collapsing in front of her store. There was just more information packed into the 6 minutes of this particular video. Maybe it would be worth it to show it here in the new year at some point. Maybe not the first meeting, but at some point. I do recommend people see that. I think the rest of the discussion will be had, in other ways, and before a decision would have to be made, there'll be opportunities for.
Shauna?
Mike, I've also read the same article, and I think in that same article what it talks about is that although there's been a 20% increase in the actual number of overdoses, there's also been, I believe in that area, I want to say a 35% increase in the amount of people that are using drugs, and that's something that we're seeing throughout our communities, you know, really everywhere. I think also what another part of that and gathering information is that we're really just starting to get a grasp of the numbers and the people that are dying from heroin overdose. So in collecting that data, we're seeing a lot of people, you know, specifically in our community, but really everywhere. We're losing a lot of people to overdose. So, you know, I think the presentation that we saw, as Anna mentioned, talks about one way that we can save lives, along with offering 25 extra detox beds, with having LEAD instituted in our community. I think these are all great ideas, and it's not a solve-all solution, saying if we open a SIF, we're going to see, you know, great numbers and people are going to stop using substances. But it's just one thing that we can do to combat people dying in our community.
Okay. Anna, anything else?
I just wanted to point out Dr. Klepek put out some numbers last month, but they were, I talked to him afterwards, they were the opposite of the actual report he put out the month before. So the numbers are 15, then 14, then 21, and it expected 28 or more this year. So there is a consistent increase in deaths.
Thank you, Anna. It's time for the break. We'll take 10 minutes, come back, and finish the reports. Then have our executive session. Okay, we're back in session. Let's go to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. David McKenna is the chair.
Thank you, Mike. F and I met on the 12th. Unfortunately, I was not able to be there. So for the committee report, I'm going to defer to Glenn Morey. But before that, I would just like to thank all my committee members and my department head that report to that committee for a very successful year. I think we accomplished a lot. Thank you all. Go ahead, Glenn.
Hi. As David said, we met on the 12th. This was a first meeting for Shauna Black with F&I. Jeff Smith was there and presented a resolution authorized to enter into agreement with the town of Dryden to adjust the budget for Freeze Road and South George Road bridges. And that resolution has been pulled and will be voted at another date. Jeff also displayed a plaque from the DPW received in the Pine Tree Bicycle and Pedestrian Path. Mike Hall was there and he presented a preliminary presentation for the TC Airport Terminal Expansion Project. And Mike will be here next month, first meeting, to make a formal presentation on what is going to happen. And we also approved the revisions of Policy 09-33 of the Tompkins County Administrative Policy Manual. complying with the State Environmental Quality Review Act, which was approved by the Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee. That's it.
Questions for either Dave or Glenn? Yes, Jim.
No.
Excuse me. I noted that you pulled the resolution V off about the bridge, and correct me if I'm wrong here. That's a Dryden project, right? I mean, that's a town of Dryden project, and we're in for a very small amount of the money. They've applied for a grant and all that.
That's correct.
And am I correct in assuming that?
Yes.
So had you ever heard of anything that was mentioned by this guy who showed up here about the historic?
That was all new news.
That was all new? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds very much like what happened in the town of Ithaca when they did their little one-liner over by Cornell, except they had a legitimate historic preservation label on the bridge when they did it.
Jim, we also were assured that this is going to be a local decision, and the public meeting is going to be next week or a couple weeks.
January 10th.
January 10th. And so local import is very important to this project in Freeze Road.
Shauna?
Yeah, one thing that was talked about in our meeting as well as in transportation was I believe it's 1.8 was under a grant, and they're actually looking into if we could maintain a one-lane bridge and still receive grant monies. I think that we talked about how that was one of the qualifiers. And so I believe what we discussed was that someone was going to look into that to see if that was even an option to go to a one-lane bridge.
Martha?
I think the point of the public comment was that all of these issues need to be brought to the public. I mean, think about all the meetings we had about Pine Tree Road and the walkway that we did, and we took that bridge down, replaced that bridge. I mean, public involvement has been promised. It's part of the grant criteria. You know, I think what they were trying to say was that it's not that it's our way or the highway. That's a pun, isn't it? Right. No. But they were trying to say that, look, we haven't had the discussion here, and please, you know, just kind of slow down. And I did check with Jeff Smith, and he said that there was no deadline whatsoever. It wasn't time sensitive. So, if I can say one other thing about the airport, and I did send Mike Hall the RFP information about the RFP that NYSEG is putting out about non-pipe alternatives. The airport renovation expansion might be an amazing candidate for kind of heat pump technology that might then be paid for by NYSEG. I don't know if the time will work out, but it's a real opportunity. He said thanks, and he's shipping it off to the CNS engineers.
So. Anything else for Dave or Glenn? Carol?
Oh, well, I have a question about that. Would the CNS engineers need, I don't know, want... as a resource, any of the folks who've actually implemented this new technology successfully? They may not.
Yeah, on my list is to send other heat pump, the studies that were done by Tatum, to send that to Mike also. And it's up to him to deal with that, but I'm just going to get the information to him.
Yeah, and maybe the folks at, I know SUNY Cortland had a project that they were successful with, a large facility, heat pump, large open facility, and there's some others around town.
During Mike's presentation, he did emphasize that he's looking into solar and geothermal. So,
thank you, Glenn.
Mike, just one more thing. As I understand it, there may be some issues in that area with doing heat pumps to get the depth. Apparently there's a lot of shale in that area. So they have to do essentially the same thing they do as fracking, which really raises the price. So that may be an issue. But that's unknown at this point.
Let's not design this here.
Oh, please do.
Martha.
Just a sentence to say air source heat pumps can possibly do the job. And there's a lot of CNS engineers at that meeting that you had said that it was 2.5 years ago that they looked at geothermal and looked at the cost. A lot has changed in the technology since then. That's all.
Yeah. Not a done deal yet.
Are we done, Dave?
I hope so.
Okay. Thank you very much. Transportation Committee did meet on Monday. We spent time on Route 13, particularly because Fernando de Aragon came in with some traffic studies. We had discussions about the three sections of Route 13, particularly the area between between Nyseg and the village of Dryden, and between Warren Road and Nyseg. But we also talked about the problems that we know about in the city of Route 13, the congested area through there, and also we talked about the area south of the city. We want to have a meeting that will have some of the players on Route, or all of the players on Route 13 come in, and Fernando's going to be setting that up. Particularly, we're interested to know what kind of planning the city is doing within itself. It has traffic engineers and a traffic plan down there. We don't know about that. We want to learn about it. And so that is underway for that kind of a meeting. Fernando showed us some breakdown of the section of Route 13, the traffic studies for the section of Route 13, particularly in the Nyseg 366-13 overlap area going into Dryden Village, and actually had that broken down into several different segments of the road. So we're going to be talking more as we go along, provided the Transportation Committee continues, and we will try to come together to figure out what kind of proposals we would ask for a study. And the most important thing is how we can get the money to do the study, or whether do we have to spend it out of our own funds. And hopefully we can find some money out there to put it on the tip. We're 2 years away. That's the Transportation Improvement Plan, so we're aware of that. But there is an opportunity there. Read again that they're pretty close. I don't know whether they passed the tax bill today or not. They were talking about it. But after that, they're saying they'll do an infrastructure bill, and how that will come around, I don't know. But they seems like all of our federal representatives like to talk about the need for infrastructure, but they don't seem to get it done. Can I answer anyone's questions? Thank you. Let's go to Government Operations Committee. Dan Klein is the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Government Operations Committee met on December 6th, and the only thing that's not represented by the resolutions on the agenda was a discussion we had about county meeting rooms and if we wanted to move towards some kind of policy and rules about that. So we took our first swing at it, and like a lot of things, it's more complicated once you get into it. If you try to make rules, there are a lot of what about this. So we didn't get too far in it. We just took a first swing at it, and you know, maybe it'll get continued in the future or not.
Questions? Some resolutions, Dan.
Yes. I'd like to move Resolution W, Budget Appropriation and Adjustment to Fund Special Advisor to the Office of Human Rights.
Second. Seconded by Rich. Discussion. Ready to vote? Are there questions? Short form roll call.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Are there any no's? That's unanimous.
Okay, I'd like to move Resolution Y, accept $300,000 State and Municipal Facilities Program grant from New York State for 21st Century Library Renovations Project.
Is there a second? Seconded by Carol. Discussion? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Those opposed? That's unanimous. Did we skip X, or what happened to X?
Sorry. Now my paper's got it in the wrong order. Resolution X, appropriation from contingent fund, terminal pay reimbursement, Department of County Administration.
Is there a second? Seconded by Anna. Discussion? All in favor? Another short form roll call.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
Are there any no's? That's unanimous.
Okay, Resolution Z. Resolution to.
We did Z, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did.
That was the first resolution we did tonight. Anything else, Dan?
No.
All right. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee. Martha Robertson.
Thank you very much, Mike. We met on December 7th, and we will meet on January 7th. Is it the 7th? No, I'll find it in a minute. January 4th at 3 o'clock, and, Mike, you said we'll roll over into...
Yeah, just as needed, that the new people will just step into their predecessor's seat for just that short period.
Okay, so that'd be great. We have three continuing, but then that would be Henry and Deborah would join us. That'd be great. That'll be 3 o'clock in this room. On December 7th, we had a report from Tompkins County Area Development. They presented their work plan for 2018. We had a good discussion of that. And Michael Stamm gave us a kind of heads up about renegotiating or renewing the five-year agreement that we have had about funding for TCAD, that about a third of their budget, for the last 5 years we've had an agreement that we negotiated that about a third of their budget comes from county resources, and it's been coming from the tourism budget because of the, I mean, the room tax is the source of that, and it's been documented that a significant amount of the room tax dollars are paid by business travelers. So that's the logic there, and that'll be coming up in 2018 for renewal and for lots of discussion, I'm sure. So that was a preview of that issue. We looked at revisions to the seeker policy and made some changes and looked at what the staff was presenting and actually made modifications there. Now, did that go to GO or was it – okay, is that – that you did or didn't vote on that yet?
We did vote on it.
No.
Okay.
GO didn't act on it. I think that's coming in January or maybe February.
I'm sorry, that's right. We're the last committee to see this. Three. Sorry about that.
It went through F&I.
F&I,
Paula?
Okay.
Did you have a question?
I knew.
Use your microphone.
I said I was confused. It went to F&I.
Okay. So it passed our committee. It's got a couple more stops. And then so that's an important piece that we did discuss. Then we had the housing measures that you voted on. I want to just mention also that Megan McDonald, Katie Borgel and I have had a number of additional conversations about the Housing Capital Reserve Fund idea. Yesterday we met with Paul Mazzarella to sort of pick his brain. We're meeting tomorrow with folks from TCAD and with Jonathan to – we want to make sure we, cover the legal basis on this. So there have been some ongoing discussions. The staff is thinking of – we should be able to pull together a draft policy that would then go through committee, and we hope through all the steps in order to come – to the legislature in February or March. So just wanted to give you an update on that. So that's my report.
Questions for Martha? Julie?
This $3 million capital reserve fund, did you say that you have met or you're going to meet with Jonathan?
Tomorrow, right?
So
I think it's tomorrow.
Check my
calendar. Yes, we have not yet. We have not yet met.
So I will not be on the committee continuing, but I'm really interested to understand about the results of your conversation with Jonathan. Jonathan, will you be summarizing that in writing? Could you?
I hope not.
So I'm going to have to call you to find out.
No, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I'm not sure what all the questions are yet, but
all right.
Possibly.
I think the result of the conversation, it'll be, sort of absorbed into whatever the planning staff brings forward. That they will, I'm sure, if there are any questions, run it by him in draft form.
I think Will was first.
Thank you, Mike. So, Martha, this is an idea that emerged during our budget process, and as you know, we pulled back from that. What is your time thinking in terms of time frame at this point?
That's what I was saying, that we've been meeting with different community groups, the planning committee from the housing summit. That was 24 people. We had them come together again for a brainstorming session. We discussed it at the Homeless and Housing Task Force, discussed it at the Economic Development Collaborative meeting, and I'm sure I'm missing a few. And there will probably be other meetings as well in the next month. So I think what we're trying to coalesce around what the greatest needs are and how funds like these could be most effective to then maybe bring a draft or at least an outline to the committee. I mean, January 4th is our next meeting. So that's my last meeting is, you know, at this point. That's kind of soon. I don't think we'll have an outline. So I would assume the February PDEC meeting, there might be an outline, maybe even a draft from the staff. And whatever evolves out of that, I would hope we could really bring it full-fledged to the legislature in March at some point. Like to have that kind of set in and ready to go so people can start to think about using the money, think about applying for it.
So the money, though, hasn't been allocated. This is setting up a structure that would use money that would have to then come out of contingency, or what?
If you remember when, during the budget process, Rick said there didn't need to be any action taken from us within the budget process. The idea would be just kind of a fence around a fund. It wouldn't literally have to move anywhere. He could just designate that at any time during the year. So imagine we actually approve a policy in March. There'd have to be criteria and application process and, I suppose, review committee, et cetera. So these things are going to take some time to get done. This is a goal, is to bring something back to this board in March for approval.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm having a little problem with, you know, kicking around this $3 million figure. That was something that just was brought up at the very last during the budget process by you, Martha. And we talked about, yes, we probably would like to look at some housing projects, but I don't think we're making any commitment to spend $3 million. Leslin, did you want to chime in on that?
Mr. Chair, you're saying exactly what I was about to say. I don't remember that we made that commitment to a particular figure.
Right.
So what the group is putting together, Martha, is just a plan of action in the event that the legislature appropriates some kind of money for a capital fund for housing.
The idea was that we seem to have very, very comfortable reserves. And I thought, let's try to get some of that money to work. I picked $3 million out because housing is so expensive to build, whether it's, you know, affordable or high-end, it's just still expensive to build. So, you can't get anywhere with $50,000. So I pulled out three. Rick agreed that wouldn't damage our fiscal standing. We'd still be in a very strong position. And when he said, look, we don't have to take action during the budget process, I said, okay, staff, that'll give staff and the legislature time to work this idea, talk to community members, try to come up with the best ideas for how something like this could be used. Obviously, $3 million is part of whatever the proposal that would come. If staff says, you know what, it should really be $5 million or it should really be $1 million, I'm sure that would be developed as part of this proposal that will come through committee.
Go ahead, Leslin.
A quick follow-up? So I guess that's where I'm a little troubled because, yeah, we did talk about that number, but I don't think that we agreed on a number that staff will be developing a proposal around. And I guess that's where I'm confused. Is there
nobody agreed to any of it? I mean,
right. So, but what I'm hearing from you is that's the number that Southie, that folks are going to be developing a proposal around, or am I hearing that wrong?
It was a place to start, and the idea is, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. I think this is pretty important.
Okay.
And I think it's important that the new legislators hear this as well.
So, for example, thank you very much. So, for example, I mentioned that the Community Housing Development Fund, that we put $100,000 a year in from HUD money. That's not property tax money. That's HUD money. It's not county reserves. We put $100,000 a year. We've already used up our $100,000. So, you know, one idea might be that, you know, the legislature should allocate, fill in the blank, X amount of money for that one use right there. That, you know, there might be a proposal, it might be a piece of this that says, well, we could actually use $250,000 for landlords to transform their houses into student housing, into family homes. Or maybe we need, you know, $500,000 to put up a couple more Endeavor houses. Or I'm trying not to prescribe ahead of time what it is. I picked $3 million, admittedly arbitrary, because the needs are so huge, and because, checking with Rick, it really didn't affect our bond rating, our you know, the reserves. He wasn't worried about it. We were still way above target. I mean, we talked about this a couple times in the budget process, and it was clear it didn't have to be done in the budget process. So this is now coming just through sort of the normal process of staff developing an idea. And they will bring it through committee. They will bring it, then it'll come to everybody. I'm sure once there's a well thought through proposal, it's not just the criteria or the goals or who could apply. The dollar amount will be part of that proposal. If staff comes out and says, look, we don't really think we could use $3 million, then they won't propose three. If the legislature says, well, that's all very nice, $3 million sounds like, you know, you'd like to spend that, we think it should only be $1 million, or we can only afford $1 million, then that's what the legislature will put. It's all up for development is kind of what I'm saying, and there's been no decision at all.
Let's try to be brief. Carol?
Why do people always say that right before, after there's been like 20 minutes of discussion?
Because it's quarter after eight.
Okay. So I don't think this is a fair debate here. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? I really applaud that Martha has brought this forward, and maybe it won't end up being at $3 million. But, you know, when it was brought forward without a plan in place, the comments were, oh, there's no plan for how we would spend it. And now that she's trying to put together a plan, it's, oh, there's a plan. You're putting together a plan without any money behind it. So you got to start somewhere. I do agree this is an enormous problem. And I think there are great debates to be had about, is it best to be spending this one-time kind of money? You know, there was some one-time money that we still had in the account last year, and you know that this kind of plan would address that. You know, should we be doing more on the annual housing fund? Is there more we could be doing there? Should it be some balance? My question had a while back was about the nature of the legal questions that you're trying to answer. So is this? Is the essence of what you're just going to try to answer with Jonathan, what's permitted, what are the kinds of things we could be doing, and how would it have to be structured in order to be able to make this kind of funding available?
Right. For example, we know that we can't give money to a landlord. County can't do that. We can't directly give money to an individual. But we could capitalize a fund, let's say, at TCAD, that they administer. Maybe it's for loans, maybe it's for grants. That's the kind of questions we have. So, Jonathan, those are the kinds of questions. We've already talked about it some, but
let me get Anna, then Leslie, then I want to make another comment, please.
I was just thinking that maybe it's backwards. It sounds like some of the concern is that the amount of money is, I mean, not that there was anything wrong. I mean, I think that the conversation getting started is really important because we put a ton of money and time into the housing question, and we all recognize that there's an issue and we all want to be a part of a solution. Listening to the conversation happening so far, it seems to me that it might be valuable to identifying the number should be the end, not the beginning. Maybe if we have an idea of projects or needs and that might take the pressure off, where we're getting a sense from the planning department on those needs brought down into specific ideas, and then from there we as a group can discuss money. But maybe starting with the money is not comfortable because it's arbitrary.
Leslie?
Now, Carol, I think you're hearing my question wrong. I am not debating whether money should go to this. I walk around the streets of Ithaca trying to help people find housing, holding their hands and taking them knocking on doors, so I know how important an issue this is. All I was asking is, we didn't agree to an amount, and it can happen at any time, and all I wanted to know is if there was a sense that people feel out there, whoever's working on this, that there's an amount that the legislature agreed to. That's all I was asking. And Martha answered that question. So I want to make sure you don't hear me wrong. I'm not debating whether they should do it or not do it or any of that. I just wanted to have that clarified so that if it comes back in this legislature and they come back with a project that says, hey, you know, $3 million, and this legislature says, no, we can't do $3 million. A million and a half that folks aren't saying, well, you would agree to this because we didn't. I wanted that clear. That was it.
Yeah, no, I was not just directing it at you. It was the totality of the response.
I just want to point out that housing is certainly important. But because one legislator says we ought to spend $3 million on housing this year, we ought to raid our reserves for that. Well, what if we want to raid the reserves for $3 million for transportation? Or maybe we want to take some money out for child care. Or we want to do some of the many other things we have to do. When you tag it with a $3 million figure, that sets an expectation within the people who are looking to prepare these proposals and these grants, and sort of what Leslie was just saying, that money's there. And if we say no, they're going to say, well, you said you were going to spend $3 million, even though we never did, which is true. So I think we ought to be real careful here. And frankly, if any of the other ones want to put in a giant request for things that you're personally interested in, why don't you do that? Let's take Martha again.
The 2006 needs assessment said we had a housing crisis, and things have gotten worse. The 2016 housing needs assessment documented, and you know, it was 400 units in 2006, 400 units a year. We actually built 320 in the following 10 years. And now the number of units a year is 520 that are needed just to keep up. This is not my personal idea. This is not my personal philosophy. This has been documented by hard work by the planning committee, but by the planning staff and the consultants that we've all paid for. I'm just, the $3 million, you know, it kind of popped out at me. I will just be honest. It was looking at the 2.9 that we spent on the trust company building, and I just said, okay, let's just pick three for two reasons. One is to capture people's attention and imagination. If we're really going to stimulate people to think about, gee, golly whiz, what could we do, since this would be completely under our control. Not a lot of, you know, federal requirements and everything else that are barriers to our projects now, but completely under our control, and that it would give people something to think about. Every single time I talk about this with anybody, the word proposed is in right before Housing Capital Reserve Fund, proposed fund. This is clearly not decided by the staff, by the legislature, and every group we have talked to understands that. And I'm just been trying to keep you up to date about these discussions. I didn't want this to be a surprise to anybody. At the end of the budget season, we said, we'll work on this. I'm just describing that we're doing what we said we would do. Thanks for listening.
And then let's move on.
No, this is very exciting. I didn't know we were going to have such a big discussion tonight about this. As I've said this to Martha before, and I said to you guys too, I really think this is less about the number than it is about what the goal. Like, what are you going to do with it? That's my problem. Like, if you were saying we're going to invest in, you know, infrastructure so that we can, you know, put in sewer systems around the county or something, all right. I mean, maybe we can look at that. So the number really isn't that important. I will say that I think this has less to do about money, though, than a lot of than what some of the towns are doing. I look at San Francisco as an example, but, I mean, just close to home, the fact that the town of Ithaca would ban two-family homes, I don't know what's going on, man. That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And that's the kind of regulation I think that's going to cause a housing crisis, not that we haven't invested enough money into it. I think the rules that are made by towns as to what will and will not be allowed will have much more damaging impact on what is built than if the county puts $3 million forward or not. So, thanks.
All right. Can we move on to Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee? Jim Dennis is the chair.
Oh, well, yeah. Thank you. That was interesting, relitigating that $3 million, but at any rate, I have resolution DD, budget appropriation adjustments for 2015-2017 retro pay corrections officers, unit local 2062, and I would move that.
Seconded by Leslin. Discussion? Short form roll call.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
And he knows. That is unanimous.
The next item is appropriation from contingent fund, terminal pay reimbursement, Department of Human Resources, and I will move that.
Second. Seconded by Dave. Discussion? Short form roll call.
Mr. Klein?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Yes.
And he knows. That's unanimous. Anything else, Jim?
Yes, Mike. When I was doing my self-awareness speech at the beginning during privilege of the floor, I neglected to mention County Administrator Joe Mariana and how much of a joy it was to work with him for 9 years. And he came here with a ton of local government, big local government knowledge, and taught all of us, at least me, and clearly anybody who had anything to do with the budget, an awful lot. So I greatly appreciated the ability to work with him during that whole time. So, and that concludes my report.
Any questions for Jim? Thank you, Jim. Let's go to the Jail Study Committee. Rich John is the chair.
Thank you, Mike. Jail Study Committee has not met since our last meeting, but will be meeting this Thursday at 4:30. We have a fairly straightforward agenda. The big item is to have a discussion about, with all of the new budget money we've put into alternatives to incarceration, how do we want to measure success? And that's a fairly complicated discussion, but I'd like to at least have us take a stab at it. So that's what we'll be focusing on.
Questions? Rich, I probably should have asked this on your previous report, but with our jail variances coming to an end, are we going to request new variances? Are we going to just roll over? I hope we're going to be asking for them and have them turn us down if that happens.
Certainly, I don't see any downside to asking.
Would you be able to check to make sure that's going to happen with the Sheriff's Department?
I will do that.
Thank you. Mike Sigler.
I guess my question's quick, just on something you said. I mean, I guess we can measure success on a lot of things, but since our real goal is to not have so many people in jail, wouldn't that be like the measure of success?
Certainly. And it's a magic number, you know, one below when we have to board out, certainly from a financial standpoint. But we're hoping to go even lower than that. But at the same time, as representatives of the taxpayers, we need to also look at the financial cost of what we're spending to do there, to get there, if we can. And, you know, all other things being equal, you look at our budget, you can look what it costs to run the jail. But we have so many different programs. We're trying to attack this problem from so many different directions. It is important to look at what are we spending on this? And you get into a lot of boundary areas. For instance, there's a lot of youth programs that absolutely help with keeping kids on the right track and out of the criminal justice system. But that's not the primary purpose. And then, you know, you go through to, say, the electronic monitoring, where clearly if you're doing electronic monitoring, it's an ATI that if you're spending there, you're not spending on the jail. So that's where I'd like us to talk a bit, is what are the boundary issues and then what can we quantify. But we also certainly want to look at that, those numbers of how many people are in the jail, how many board outs do we have.
And if you had $3 million extra dollars?
Thank you, Rich.
No comment.
Let's go to the minutes of the previous meeting, December 5th, 2017. Martha?
Move them.
Is there a second? Seconded by Will. Discussion? Those in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? I have one opposed. Two opposed.
Two.
Unfinished business. I just want to say that it's been a good year. You worked hard, all of you, and it's been my high honor and distinct privilege to be your chair this year. We need to have a brief executive session, so if someone want to move that we go into executive session, Anna. This is to discuss, and seconded by Leslie, and this is to discuss a personnel matter with a particular person. All in favor of the executive session, please raise your hand. Those opposed?